Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to connecting with you every single day to bring you conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, deepen your understanding of God's Word, and even heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, today's guest has become a friend of mine, and I interviewed her in the past on my old show, Live the Promise. We've both been on TV shows as guests, both of us as authors, and connecting backstage, catching up on life. I love this gal. I can't really even remember how we first met, but I do remember how I felt when I met her. She's someone who loves Jesus passionately. She backs up her faith life by taking risks that He asks of her. And she lives an adventure of faith, really like few that I know personally. And we're talking about her devotional today, which happens to be a companion book for the upcoming film Unplanned. But we're talking about more than that. I want you to hear her backstory in hopes it'll inspire you to dream with God, to take faith steps because of Him, because it's worth it. Your story is worth it. He is worth it. And believe Him when He says He wants to use you in ways that are totally disproportionate to who you are. Lorraine Marie Varela joins me today, and I cannot wait for you to meet her. A quick announcement, our spring share is coming. I love our share events. It's a time to kind of gather together and go, look what God has done. Look what we're dreaming about that He might do. Are we all together on this? I'm just always so excited about share because God has done some amazing things through Faith Radio. And it feels like we're just getting started, that there's so much more. Greater things are yet to be done in the city. Would you be praying about just your part in our upcoming share event? It will take place on April 9th. Through the 12th. I'm excited. Can't wait to connect with you in that regard. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Lorraine Marie Varela is the author of Powerful Moments in the Presence of God and Love in the Face of ISIS, powerful books. She and her husband co-founded Inspiring Faith International, a ministry to help people from all walks of life to draw closer to God. Together, they co-led the prayer ministry team on the film set of Unplanned. She and her husband, Gabriel, live in Los Angeles, and they can be found online at inspiringfaith.us. Lorraine, welcome to the program.
Susie, it's so good to talk to you again. Thank you for having me on your show.
And I know you're going to just, I'm excited to talk with you. And I know you're only going on a few hours of sleep. So friends, you can be praying for my friend as we have this conversation. Appreciate it so much, hon. And we love to start every day talking scripture. And I know you are someone who loves God's word. Is there a verse you've been just sort of pondering these days or a life verse you can share with us?
Well, I came expecting this question, Susie. And so this morning when I was praying, I just asked the Lord for scripture for our audience and for us together because there are so many great verses to choose from, and I want to read this one from the Passion Translation because it just really touches our hearts in a way that's unique. It's from Hebrews chapter 4, and it says, "So then we must cling in faith to all we know to be true, for we have a magnificent King Priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose into the heavenly realm for us and now sympathizes with us in our frailty. He understands humanity, for as a man, our magnificent King Priest was tempted in every way, just as we are, and conquered sin. So now we freely come boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness."
Wow. Wow. Talk a little bit about that passage. That's just beautiful.
Yeah. Well, it's just so appropriate, you know, for us today. Just we all need to have the ability to approach the Lord with grace and with boldness. And I loved how it said that we can come freely to where love is enthroned to our great high priest. I just thought that was beautiful.
Absolutely. Well, you know, before we get into your devotional, by the way, friends, this is a gorgeous devotional. I endorsed it. I told her before the show, I endorsed the manuscript. Then I see the finished copy. It's hardcover. There's gorgeous pictures and scriptural quotes and the Lord just speaking to you. And it's titled Plan from the Start, a Healing Devotional. joy, forgiveness, grace, comfort, and hope. It's for those who are post-abortive. It's beautiful. Honestly, I feel like it could be for, I mean, because the stories are those who are post-abortive, that's, you know, I'm sure the demographic. But I'm thinking anybody with a soul wound would find ministry in the pages in between, because there's so much invitation to heal and places to journal to hear from the Lord. I mean, let's just do this first. Give a little bit of a synopsis of this book and kind of your goal, and then we'll get into your backstory.
Sure. Well, the book was formed because our directors on Unplanned had approached me to write a companion piece to the movie, knowing that Unplanned would open up some wounds in people's hearts who had undergone abortion, and they really wanted to bring healing to the men and women who've been affected by abortion. But in writing this book, I realized it went far beyond, like you were saying, Susie, far beyond abortion, because it talks about reconnecting people with the heart of God. What was his plan for you from eternity past? So many times people who are wounded from sin feel like they've been disconnected from God's purpose. And so the whole overarching theme of this book is not just about healing from the abortion wound, but it's reconnecting to his plans and purposes for you, that you are worthy of the plans that he's prepared for you and to walk in his purposes.
It is a beautiful book, and I think we've got a few copies to get into your hands. I'll tell you how to do that in a minute. But now let's go back a bit, back to when I think you attended your first writer's conference. Give us a little backstory, just, you know, what where you were at with the Lord at that time and about those first steps.
So we're going back to the first time was in 2014. I went to a writer's conference in Bethel, at Bethel Church in Redding, California, because a friend had encouraged me that the devotional writings that I had been keeping for years needed to be put into a book. And, you know, you're probably in the same way. We're writers, and we like to carry our thoughts on paper, and it's just for us. And I never imagined that that would then one day turn into something that those personal writings would be for other people as well, the thoughts that God had laid on my heart. But so it was at a writer's conference that I received the download for a book called Love in the Face of ISIS. I was in one of the workshops, and we were just doing a practice exercise. And the instructor gave our little group of three people the topic of ISIS in the Middle East. And immediately the Spirit of the Lord drops on me, and I have a vision of seeing the world from God's perspective, and I know that this is going to be a book about prayer. So a book of prayer strategies was formed in that conference, and 3 weeks later, I was at another conference back at Bethel again this time, and this was in 2016, and there were two film producers from Hollywood who were talking about movie making and how you could get a producer to take on your project if you had a strong title. And it sounded like a movie, and we hadn't seen it before. And so it was at that conference that the Lord gave me the inspiration to write a screenplay about ISIS in the Middle East as well. I hope I'm answering your question right.
So, okay, so let's back up. So at the first conference, did you meet with an editor and pitch the idea, if I remember? How did that come about with Love in the Face of ISIS being published?
Jane Campbell from Chosen Books, I'm sure you're familiar with Jane, was teaching one of the workshops. And I just, you know, I came into this first writer's workshop thinking that I knew what I needed to know, and I came away knowing I knew nothing. And Jane was just so great in just dispensing a wealth of information and wisdom, and I was just deeply impressed by her integrity and her character. And so I got her email address and knew that I would come in contact with her at some point when I was ready to submit the manuscript. That took place probably 6 months after that meeting. And, you know, she meets so many people. She didn't remember me. And I sent in my book proposal, she wrote back a beautiful response that to me said no, and to her was a yes. It was so interesting how our viewpoints are different, but she just said, you know, your proposal looks very nice. And I thought, okay, it looks very nice, but I'm concerned that you don't have a platform. I can't find you on social media. So if you could tell me where, you know, what you're doing behind the scenes, that would be helpful. Because as you know, Susie, book writing is so personal to authors, and yet it is a business. There needs to be some infrastructure in place in order for things to work smoothly. So I ended up sharing with Jane that I had listened to her at Bethel and at the writers' conference, and I understood that they were in the book. business, and these were the things that she may have missed. And then she said, you know, why didn't you tell me that we had met? That changes everything. And from that point on, she was a champion, and I would not be here today if it wasn't for Jane's foresight and her listening to the Holy Spirit.
Wow. And for the, you know, we might have to bring you back to talk about love in the face of ISIS, because it's like learning to pray in the places where you're actually afraid. You don't, we don't let fear dictate us. We let faith dictate us. That's a, it's a beautiful book. I'm grateful it got published. So then you're at the next writers conference and you meet these film guys. And did you pitch Love in the Face of ISIS? Or I mean, I'm trying to remember, but I remember it being kind of a crazy story.
It was a, yeah, it was a crazy story. So 3 weeks earlier, I had been at a another writers conference. So just if your listeners are picking up on this, writers conferences are great places to go.
And this is a good plug, because I just want you to know we are hosting our third annual writers conference here, you know, Faith Radio, and it's an A-list faculty of editors and agents.
Okay.
So I didn't even know that, but thank you. But I tell people all the time, you want to get published, you got to get to a conference. But okay, keep going.
Yes, it's true. So I was at a writer's conference in Washington State, where I was living at the time. And it was at that conference that God gave me the inspiration to write about ISIS in the Middle East, a prayer strategy guide. And I, that had not been carried on my heart. And oftentimes books are started, they're formed where we carry it in our heart for years. And this just came out of the blue. And so 3 weeks later, I was in Redding, California. That morning, I received the contract from Chosen Books to write Love in the Face of ISIS, a prayer strategy guide. And so I'm back at Bethel just to say hello to Jane. I hadn't seen her since 2 years prior when we met. And I wanted to thank her for putting the first book, Powerful Moments in the Presence of God, into motion. That one hadn't even come out into stores yet. So it was just all this divine things that God was orchestrating. And so I'm sitting in the main sanctuary in the speaker's room, whatever, just listening to the filmmakers, but I'm not interested in what they have to say at all, because I just gotten a contract for a book and I have 12 weeks to write this book, and my mind is swirling like, how do I do this? I don't even know everything that I'm supposed to know about writing this book yet. The Lord's going to give it to me, but my mind is focused book, 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 and I'm hearing about movies, and I'm not interested in movies. But as I was sitting in my seat, one of the filmmakers said, if you have a title that sounds like a movie and we haven't seen it before, you can hook a producer by the strength of the title alone. My husband Gabriel was sitting next to me, and he turned to me and he said, the name of your book is a hook for a movie, Love in the Face of ISIS. And immediately I knew it was true. It sounds like a movie. We haven't seen it before. It gives you context, a little bit about what the story's about. And so I sat in my chair and I prayed and I said, well, God, if this is supposed to be a movie, then what's the story? Because this is a book about prayer strategies. It's nonfiction. And immediately I heard the Spirit of God say, you're going to write this story. This is going to be based off of two brothers in the Bible, Esau and Jacob, one loved by the father, one cherished by the mother, immediate conflict in the home. One brother is going to be ruled by fear, the other by anger. This is going to be how you're going to take them out of their home life. And I sat in my seat and I watched the movie that he was describing for me. He gave me everything, the points of conflict, the escalating moments. I mean, it's just, I watched it and I thought, wow, this is a good movie. And so the next night, my husband took me out of worship. He saw that the filmmakers were leaving, and so I introduced myself to them, and I briefly shared the story that God gave me. And Carrie Solomon, who's the director on Unplanned, he said to me, he goes, I love it. I love every bit of it. This movie is gold. Do you want me to make your movie? And I said, yes. And then he asked, well, have you ever done anything like this before? And I said, no. But I know that God is in it. Give me a year, and a year from today, I'll have a script for you. And I just go to speak to that, because, you know, so many times we are fearful to step out or to take a risk. And I had never even read a script, let alone written anything fiction. But the Lord had given me several things just in that brief 24 hours that showed me that I would have the confidence to do this thing that popped up on my radar. One of the things was, I had dinner with Jane Campbell, again, plug for Jane, and she looked at me across the table and she said, Lorraine, you're a storyteller. And I had never heard that before. I'd never even thought of myself in that way. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess I'm a storyteller. And then the second thing was, is I took a class on poetry at the writers' conference. I don't know anything about poetry, but the woman who was presenting the class spoke to the main main session, and she seemed nice. You know, she was really interesting. So I thought, well, I'll go sit in her class. And by the time I finished that one class, in an hour, I'd written a poem that I loved. And I'd never tried that before. And God allowed that experience to say, I'm going to take you into a place where you're going to do something you've never done before, and you're going
to
be good at it.
You're going to
be successful because it's through my spirit.
This is so amazing. I have to pause here. We need to take a break. But friends, I hope your heart is kind of beating a little faster, because this is the thing. He's the creator. So we as Christians should be some of the most creative people. And I believe God, I mean, I know scripture says we can't please him without faith. And faith does involve risk, stepping up and saying, I've never been here before, but I'm going to follow you, Lord. There's so much more to Lorraine's story, but we're also going to dig into the content of her beautiful devotional Plan from the Start. Email if you want in on the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com. And Michael asked for your life verse. We'll reference that when we come back from the break. Michael, thanks for that. Text in if you got questions or comments, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And
thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friend Lorraine Barella, who's an author. She's involved with films. What God has done in and through this woman just takes my breath away. She's written a gorgeous devotional for those. It's primarily, I would say, directed towards those who are post-abortive, whether you're a man or a woman, and you've felt the sting, the pain, the hurt after being involved with an abortion. You know, as your person who wrote the foreword, who's the director on the film on Plan, said, it's not the unpardonable sin. There is healing. There's forgiveness. This is a gorgeous, gorgeous devotional. There's times and places for reflection, and it just speaks healing. But it's not just for you. Maybe you just need soul healing. I'm telling you, you'd find it in this book. Email, we've got three copies of this gorgeous hardcover Devo, middays@myfaithradio.com. Before we pick up your story, Michael asked if you could repeat the verse that you referenced at the open. What was the reference again?
Yes. Hebrews 4:14-16 of the Passion Translation.
14-16, Hebrews 4. And Michael, mm-hmm. She was reading out of the Passion. 877-933-2484. So you're giving us a little backstory. We just got to finish this little bit, then we'll dig into the content. But here you step out of the conference. You see these guys who are in film, and you're like, I will have a film script for you in a year. Now, you were saying before the break, I didn't take any risks. I'm just following Jesus. I'm like, yes, you did. I mean, that's audacious. I've never read a script, let alone written one. But I know that God was confirming his way in you as well.
Right.
So you step in and write the script. So just tell us where you are now in the whole, because God has led you into film now and helping other people.
Well, and that one-year date was important to me because the date that I met them was the one-year anniversary of ISIS having taken over in the Middle East. Wow. So the one-year anniversary. So I just felt like that anniversary date of June 10th was important, and that I would be able to finish on that memorial date. And so, yes, so 12 weeks later, I had finished this manuscript for Love in the Face of ISIS. My husband and I had traveled to the Middle East. We met with Iraqi Christian refugees. And then I spent the next 3 months just reading scripts online, learning the process by reading what they look like, how do they sound. And then by January of that year, I decided I needed to start writing. And so I wrote the script. And when it was finished, I'll just say, on June 10th, when I woke up that morning, I wasn't finished. And I prayed for a miracle. I said, God, I know that you don't have to do this, but if it's okay with you, can we have a miracle today? Mm-hmm. And by the end of that day, I had written 12 pages, which typically 1 to 3 pages, 3 would be phenomenal. 12 pages were written that day. It was finished. And when they read the screenplay, they said that they'd never seen anything happen like it before, where a first-time screenwriter brings in a script with a first draft that was 95% where it needed to be. It just needed some cinematic flourishes and the changing of a font to make it more readable. So they optioned the script, and they put it into development, and they were working on it. I mean, they were getting fundraising, they were getting investors involved. And then I got a phone call one day from our directors and just said, you know, Lorraine, the Lord's told us to put your script aside, and that this other script needs to go first. It's called Unplanned. And if you and your husband are willing, we'd like you to be the pastors for our team. We'd like you to be on set. We'd like you to run a prayer ministry and serve our team in that way. And so, of course, we said yes. You know, you just say yes. You say yes to those opportunities. And so that's how Gabriel and I got involved with the entertainment industry. About a year and a half, well, a little later than that, we got a vision, a dream at night where the Lord told us it was time to go. And it's so perfect because, you know, it's how Joseph was told to take Mary and Jesus and flee to Egypt was through a dream. But I had a dream and the Lord said, get on the bus. And so we just put everything in motion to sell our home and move down to Southern California by faith that the Lord would provide. So that's how we got here to be in ministry.
You're working on Unplanned. I'm watching my clock. I've just got a couple minutes. So start, if you would, by telling Abby Johnson's story. I actually interviewed her on Live the Promises several years ago. And we will have to pick it up on the other side of the break. But it's a stunning story. So just start by telling us a bit about Abby, about whom the movie is about.
Yeah, so Abby Johnson wrote a book called Unplanned a few years ago. She was a college student. She was from a believing home, and she was recruited as a student on campus to work for Planned Parenthood as a volunteer. That's how she got her. She just wanted to help women. She got sucked into the organization by believing that she was making a difference in women's lives and helping them. And helping to decrease abortion by doing so. And in 8 years, she climbed through the corporate ranks. She was the youngest Planned Parenthood clinic director that they'd had, and she was their employee of the year. She believed everything that she was selling to the women about how they treated babies in the womb. And until one day she was called back to a procedure room and everything changed for her. And that's what we show in her story in the film.
Everything changed, and then her exit out of that industry, and now as an incredible advocate. What about the film has stood out to you as you've watched behind the scenes them put this in process?
Wow. The power of prayer, I think, has stood out to me because we have had so many miracles on set, so many God-appointed times, the presence of God being so strong, and I'll share with you some of those things on the other side of the break, but just amazing God moments from casting to opening up the enemy's strategy playbook and letting us see his hand so we would know how to combat it in prayer. Just amazing things.
When does the film release?
March 29th, it'll be in theaters nationwide. We're looking at opening on 1,000 screens and hopefully expanding from there.
Wow. And you're exhausted now. How much more work is left before the March 29th release?
Well, we have our premiere on Monday, and we're still hitting it strong going throughout the nation, just bringing the message of Unplanned and just trying to get as many people informed and involved as possible.
Well, we'll pause here. When we come back, I want you to say a little bit more about the film. Love to know just about some of the opposition you faced, because I'm sure the enemy absolutely hated this film, and what moviegoers are going to, you know, encounter and experience when they see the film. And we'll dig into some of the content from her devotional as well. Talking to Lorraine Marie Varela, she's got a beautiful companion devotional to go with the film Unplanned. Her Devo is titled Planned from the Start, a healing devotional. And it really is. I'd love to get a copy in your hands. Email to get in the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com. Also text in any comments, questions. Love to hear from you, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Days. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friend Lorraine Marie Varela. She's now a film script writer and author, and she also works in the Christian film industry. She and her husband co-leading the prayer ministry team behind the scenes on the film Unplanned, which hits theaters at the end of March, at the end of the month. And say a little bit more about the film, what moviegoers can expect when it hits the big screen.
What moviegoers can expect is just to see the truth about abortion. It goes beyond the doors of the abortion industry and shows you what really happens. What is the thought that prevails behind those walls? how are women treated? What is the perspective? It's a beautiful story. Honestly, it's a hard story to watch, but there's so much redemption. There's love, there's forgiveness, there's healing. There's presenting the companionship and the friendship that's made across the aisle from both pro-choice and pro-lifers that meet together. So it was just a beautiful story. Abby Johnson's clinic used to have the 40 Days for Life. The Coalition for Life would stand in front of her clinic and pray. And because of their prayers, she was able to form relationships with those that disagreed with her choice, even as her husband disagreed with her choice of working in a Planned Parenthood clinic. But she still experienced their love and acceptance anyway that helped her to come out of the industry.
Well, I remember in her book Unplanned and interviewing her, something that stood out to me so much, Lorraine, was the Christians who were screaming and picketing and yelling did only serve to dig her heels in deeper, thinking, I want to be on the other side of that equation. Yeah. I want nothing to do with you people. But those who are quiet and prayerful and kind and gentle and even offered lemonade and any kind of help and offered even to pray for the abortion workers, can we pray for you in any way? That softened her heart. And then there was one story in the book that just arrested me, because there was a kind of a place of gathering where all the picketers and people would stand, you know. But off to the side, Abby one day saw on the loading dock, kind of off to the side of the building, a nun face down on the concrete, weeping, and just out of the public eye, but just because that's where the truck would, you know, come. And, and you know, I won't say more than that. But and that nun weeping in intercession undid her. So God was doing things, but interesting how he wasn't working through those who are screaming and calling names, you know?
Yeah, and it's great because the movie shows all of those scenes. It shows those that were pretty, you know, violent in their approach, and it shows those that were soft in their approach. And we did have some nuns that came on set to recreate that scene that you were just talking about, Susie, and we did film that. But because of the length of the movie, those scenes did not make it into the final film. So, and I remember speaking with them. Yeah, it was very powerful. Can I share just one story that I think you'll really appreciate for for your listeners? Laura Harris-Smith, how we met in person, who's a television host and author with Chosen Books as well. Laura and her husband, Chris, who are pastors, came onto set and led a time of ministry for our crew and our cast. And as part of that, we took them around to the set, the Planned Parenthood set that we had recreated in the warehouse. We're walking through the building, and Laura places her hand on a wall, and she says, "You need to tell me what's behind this wall. I need to go on the other side. There's something there." And she didn't know that she had her hand on the wall, that on the opposite side was what was called the products of conception room, the POC room, the place in the clinic where they would actually reassemble the bodies of the babies that had been aborted to make sure that no pieces were missing. And so we walk into that room, and Laura just, you know, drops to her knees, and we start interceding. Joshua Mills was a friend of ours that was also with us that day, and we start singing and declaring and praying in this room. It wasn't until I got back from filming and I was watching the rough cut of the movie for the first time, and I hear the voiceover, and Abby Johnson's character says, as she's walking towards the POC room, and we used to call the POC room, it was called the Holy of Holies. And I just got chills, because it's like the Holy Spirit had directed Laura to the Holy of Holies for us that day to pray and make declarations of life over this film and over our nation. It was so powerful.
Wow, amazing. Well, talk about the kind of healing both men and women need after they've been impacted, because, you know, when you hear people that are pro-choice, you never hear them talk about the casualties, not just the babies, but those who are left with holes in their hearts, depression, suicide. I mean, feeling like I had no idea what I was in for. Talk a little bit about that.
Right. Well, and that's the surprising thing, is that people don't realize that by making that choice to enter into agreement with abortion, you actually enter into a lifelong battle with some consequences you weren't prepared for, even if it means being able to forgive yourself or to feeling of lack of acceptance from others, anger and rage, the need to punish yourself. There's dependency on alcohol, on drugs, even masking, you know, comfort through food. There are other behaviors to mask pain. One of the most interesting things to me, too, was just the inability to relate to others in a healthy way through relationship. Oftentimes, women that have had abortions will feel a disconnect from their children, and they don't know why. It's either there's this disconnect or there's the hovering parent syndrome. There doesn't seem to be an ability easily to make a smooth transition to parenting. Even hearing children's cries can bring back nightmares and the trauma that's just buried under the surface.
Absolutely amazing. The directors of the film Unplanned wrote the foreword of this book, and they cite that 60% of post-abortive women stated they felt a part of them had died after the abortion. 60%. 62% could not forgive themselves. 36% have thoughts of suicide. Again, you don't hear those stats very often.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's not just the women. Men also feel those same emotions. In fact, one of the stories, the testimonies in the book is from a man who had suicidal thoughts and tendencies after paying for a woman that he got pregnant to undergo an abortion.
Wow. They also clarify in the foreword, which I appreciated, I mentioned that they said, now listen, you know, abortion is not the unpardonable sin. And there are plenty of Christians very busy in Christian ministry. I mean, you tell stories in the book, one of a pastor's wife who had repeated miscarriages, I think an ectopic pregnancy, things like that, where things didn't go well. She had never had told her husband about the abortion and really felt like that the Lord was punishing her until God's grace and mercy came in and they ended up adopting a child. But one story after another like that.
Yeah.
But I know there are some listening today who maybe have that stuffed in their past. And I can only imagine the trauma. I can imagine how the enemy jerks their chain when he wants to. So they're living in total captivity. I mean, what word of life and encouragement would you have for that person?
Well, so many words of life and encouragement, Susie, because, you know, it's been the enemy who's keeping them in this prison of shame and hopelessness and depression. It's just, there's just so much to say about that God has forgiveness. It's not the unpardonable sin. I think what happens is in the church, because we don't talk about it, one, is it makes it feel like this is the unpardonable sin. There's so much shame attached. And you know, there was this, first of all, one in four women, or even one in three women by the age of 45 will have had an abortion in their lifetime. 70% that go into abortion clinics identify as Christian. And almost 50% have been in a worship service that month. So we know that this is an epidemic that has reached the church, but the church has been silent. And I just feel like this movie is going to start to open up the avenues for healing in our churches, because there was a study done of women who are post-abortive, and they said, did you go to somebody in your church for counsel or for help? And it was a resounding almost 70% that said no, they did not feel safe to share their secret with their pastor or others, because they felt that there would be a stronger leading towards gossip than there would be towards help. Mm-hmm. And that needs to change.
Wow, indeed it does. So again, Lorraine has written a companion devotional hardcover. Gorgeous. There's pictures, there's quotes, there's just words from the Lord in this, and then stories of those who've been there and how God redeemed their stories. I'm telling you, I've not seen a more redemptive type devotional for those who've been through abortion. And again, if you just need soul healing, I think it'll encourage you. Plan from the Start, a healing devotional. So I'm going to give you an example. This gorgeous book, in between some of the stories are these beautiful pictures. And one picture I looked at this morning is a woman wrapped in a blanket by a bonfire. And the verse reads from Psalm 30, verse 11. He has torn the veil and lifted from me the death of heaviness and of mourning. He wrapped me in the glory and the garments of gladness. And then the words on the page read, in times of grief, I surround you with my love. My compassion reaches out and reaches in to touch those places left vulnerable and exposed. I will heal every wound in your soul. And then you offer this place for quiet reflection. I just want you to have kind of an experience, friend, as you're listening today. Lorraine, you write, it's easy to believe God loves others, but it might not be as easy to believe God truly loves you. You may believe in his love with your mind, even though you haven't experienced his truth in your heart. So let your healing journey begin with this simple question. Jesus, why do you love me? The Lord may give you a picture or specific thoughts and impressions may come to mind. Record these thoughts now. Don't be afraid to receive. Just open your heart and let His healing flow. And then you offer this place, space for journaling. And so you really are inviting your reader into a place of intimacy where the Lord Himself kind of ministers to those places in the soul, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I feel, you know, Susie, we have not been trained well to hear God's voice for the most part. At least I wasn't trained well to hear God's voice because I grew up in a faith environment that said God doesn't speak that way to people. We just receive from His word and that was it. And His word is beautiful and He speaks through His word. But, you know, the Lord is, His voice is always speaking. And this is just an opportunity to really tune in. You know, we've heard so much from the enemy in our minds telling us that we're not worthy or that we're unforgivable or unlovable. And it's really time to reconnect hearts to hear from God's voice above the lies of the enemy. And that's what is so powerful about the just taking that moment to journal the thoughts and the impression that God places on your heart, because you will start hearing from Him if you've never heard His voice before speak to you in that way.
Hmm. Well, I think we're going to pause here for our final break. And when we come back, I want you to talk more again about just your sense of calling. When you first got a sense of the call of God in your life, and did you have any idea that you'd be standing where you stand now? And then just want you to just kind of give some advice to those, you know, because we walk through opposition, we walk through preparation, we walk through a wilderness season, we walk through waiting seasons for the breakthrough. Just want to talk about some of those nuances of the faith journey so the person in those places does not get discouraged and give up. God is always writing a great story with our lives. Talking to Lorraine Marie Varela. We'll be back in a minute. Your soul wants to keep jerking your chain. He wants to keep bringing up old things that Jesus has forgiven and wants to hold you in captivity. You know, Scripture says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you have life and life to the fullest, life abundantly. That means He wants to heal your soul. He wants to make you whole. He wants to call you out and use you in ways that are totally disproportionate to who you are. That's who He is. That's what He does. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to Lorraine Marie Varela. She's an author. She's also involved in the Christian film industry, and it's just a beautiful thing to watch God use her. This devotional we're celebrating today is a companion piece with the film that releases later this month, Unplanned. Her Devo is titled Planned from the Start, a healing devotional. I'm just saying, I endorsed it. It is gorgeous. I want to talk about your calling, though, Marie, just Lorraine, I'm sorry, but because I'm thinking of people listening today maybe somebody who's stuck in a dead-end job and they just feel like that's for everybody but them. Let's go back again a little bit. When did you start to feel a restlessness in your soul and a sense, God has more for me to do? And how did He speak to you about taking your next steps?
I was thinking about that over the break, Susie, and that I just realized how many times the Lord used the voice of others to bring encouragement to me and help me to see things that I didn't see for myself. I had friends, like many of your listeners, I'm sure we've all had a variety of careers I think I've had 9 different jobs or 9 different careers. Maybe that's unusual. I don't know. But one of those was people saw, you know, an ability for me to take beautiful pictures. And I ended up for 10 years or 15 years being a professional photographer where I had a photography business. And that picture that you were talking about with the girl wrapped in the cloak, that was something that I had taken for powerful moments that didn't make it into the book. And so I wanted to use it for this book.
Wow.
But so it was just the encouragement of others. And when my first spiritual awakening, I was a believer from the time that I was 3. It's one of my earliest childhood memories is accepting Jesus and inviting Him into my heart. But when I was 38 years old, my brother encouraged me to go deeper and to go on a faith journey. And it was then that my ears were open to hearing God's voice in a supernatural way. And that was written about in Powerful Moments in the Presence of God. I knew in that moment when God woke me up in the middle of the night and He gave me a word in Vietnamese. Then He told me to go to a woman who is Vietnamese who did my nails and she would know what this word meant. I knew at that moment that would be a story that someday that I would have to share as widely as I could. I just had no idea how that was going to play out. And it
okay,
was
15 wait,
years
what?
Later.
So He gave you, I don't know if I've heard this story. So this
what?
Was new for you as well. So in the middle of the night, He gave you a Vietnamese word.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it was a little bit more than that. I had been for that week, my brother had encouraged me to fast lunch and just read the Bible during that lunchtime. He was an administrator for a high school, and that's what he did with his high school kids. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And so, you know, just like faith, like a child, I just said, God, you know, I'm just going to open your word as though I've never read it before. Just teach me what you want me to know about your spirit. I was struggling with just the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I didn't understand it. And so I fasted lunch and I read the Bible. And by the end of that week, I'm like, wow, you know, your spirit, you really do talk. You really do move. That hasn't changed. And so I just went through this faith journey of, God, I want what you want to give to me, but I'm afraid. So if you just want to give me, say, one word in the heavenly language, that'd be great. And it was the election night of George Bush and Al Gore, and our nation went to bed without a president-elect, and I was on my knees asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Went to bed without any confirmation of that, but he awoke me in the middle of the night, first with a shout over my head, and he said, go. And I got up, and I'm like, where do I go? It's 2:00 in the morning. I have no idea, but I know that I just heard God's voice. I fell back asleep, woke up around 4:00 in the morning, and he gave me a conversation in a dream like he did to King Solomon and King Abimelech. He said, Lorraine, I have a word for you. And I immediately went back to my question that night, you know, is this a word from a heavenly language? And he said, no, this word is in Vietnamese. Because you don't know this word and you never heard it before, I'm going to spell it for you after I say it to you. I want you to get up and write it down. The word is Duong. It's spelled D-U-O-N-G. Give this word to a woman named Tam. Give her this word and she'll know what it means. And so that set me off on my first supernatural journey of hearing God's voice and being sent by him to a woman. And yes, Duong is a Vietnamese word. And the short story is it means way. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. There's so much more to that story, but my life was forever impacted and changed. He gave me the one word that could just convey the truth of Scripture and the truth of who Jesus is in one word. It was amazing.
That is an amazing story, Lori. I never heard that one before. You know, when I'm thinking about the different aspects of walking out the call of God, I mean, your journey certainly has been unusual, but he leads us all in journeys that are unique to us. But I do know that he prepares us. I do know that we go through times of opposition and times where we are waiting in the waiting room, where it seems that others are just skating and we're waiting for the breakthrough. Can you think of a time when it didn't seem like things were all happening for you every which way and you were waiting for a breakthrough?
I think everything that we've done is been through waiting. I'm in a waiting situation right now. You know, I wrote a screenplay several years ago, and I'm still waiting. But in the waiting, we serve. And I think one of the things that the Lord was teaching me was patience. And he gave me a vision one day. He says, Lorraine, is like, I'm planting in you, you're this garden, and I'm planting beautiful flowers and vegetables and all this thing, and you're coming right behind me, and you're pulling up the seeds, you know, like, that's not how you grow a garden. And it's just like, once I had that picture, it completely put me at peace and put me at rest. Okay, God, it's in your timing. And I think sometimes we try to race ahead, or we don't do enough. You know, we think that waiting means we're passive, and it's not. We're not passive. We're learning. We're growing. We're doing everything we can to further the word, but we know that he's the one that sets it into motion. So we do everything we can. I do everything I can to partner with his purposes as they're presented to me. And whether it's, you know, getting my house cleared out because I know we're going to be selling it sometime. I'm moving forward to that word. And for the most part, he's given us words that we can actively work towards seeing the fulfillment of.
Boy, that's good. So somebody who's listening today who feels stuck in their life but really longs for a faith adventure, longs to follow the Lord, take some of the risks he puts before them. You know, the thing is, when you're walking with the Lord and you are taking faith risks, when you're engaging your faith and you're just in step with him, even though the enemy hates it and there's opposition and there's battle at times, I feel like you're your best self because you're fully alive in the things of God. And I'm thinking of that person listening today going, I want to be that. I want to be fully alive, fully engaged in the purposes of God, but I don't see a way out. I just feel stuck. What advice, what first steps could a person like that take?
To continually bring your prayers to the Lord, to remind him. I remind the Lord every day, God, I'm stewarding this project to the best of my ability, but this is your project, and just help me to steward it. You just remind the Lord. That's what I do. I just remind him, and then I do what he has called me to do in the time of waiting, in the time of before that next door is opened. And I just trust. I trust that his timing is perfect. And I think that's the best that we can do.
Here's another great word from the devotional. Maybe you need to hear this today, friend. I am near to the brokenhearted, and I save those who are crushed in spirit. I am near to you. The enemy has you in his sights because he knows your destiny is great. He is content to let you relax in your identity as long as you don't move forward into the destiny I have for you. But I say you will move confidently in both as you are held firm in my heart. You are walking the path of suffering now, but joy is coming. Rest in my love and worship me in the meantime. I love that. What do you know, Lorraine, about the Lord now that you didn't even know a few years ago?
Well, just how much he delights in his creation, how he delights in each person, and that he's just so faithful. He's so faithful to minister to the need of each one, and nothing escapes his notice. And he's creative, and I could go on and on because there's so much that I've learned in my faith walk with him.
How do you pray for our nation? And I mean, I know you pray for the Middle East. How do you pray for both? I guess I'd love to know. What do your prayers sound like as you pray for what's going on in the Middle East and what's going on in our own nation?
Right. Well, obviously, lately, my prayers have definitely been focused on what's happening here at home, just with abortion and the national discussion that's come to the surface. We pray for truth to reign, for hearts to be softened to truth. You know, there can be truth presented, but if the heart's not soft, it's not going to make a mark. And so lately, that's just been one of our prayers, is that there would be an openness and a willingness to receive the truth from the Lord regarding life. And that also extends to the Middle East, too. You know, we pray for encounters. We pray for people to have an awakening and an awareness of the presence of God that's around them, that they would be connected to his heart, connected to his purposes.
You know, when you talk about dreams, people, many think that's so out of the box. But if you are hearing stories from the Middle East and all over the world, really all over the world, this is how Jesus is getting through to people in hard-to-reach areas. Yeah. There, I'm telling you, and you know this, you know, countless Muslims are having clear dreams where they're sleeping and the Lord speaks to them, and they see Jesus in a white robe holding the book saying, I am the Christ, and you will run into someone today whose name is whatever, and he will tell you that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So many different versions of that dream, but I am the Christ, and I'm here for you. Because these people are wondering, I mean, I've read stories, I've interviewed people. Behind the scenes, there are Muslims who are climbing the ladder, becoming imams, and they're wondering, okay, I thought when I got to this level, I would finally feel peace. I don't. So they're earnest in their religious pursuit, but they're not finding the peace they'd hope they find. Jesus knows when there's hearts that are tender, that they would love him if they knew him, and he's appearing to them. I mean, this is a reality that's happening in other parts of the world, and I just think that's another good way to pray. Continue to do that, Lord, and then raise up evangelists to be there on the path to explain these things for those who have questions, you know?
Amen. Absolutely. Both in the Middle East and here at home, raise up people who will intersect people in their paths and show them and help them and befriend them and love them into the kingdom.
Well, why don't you do that even now? Would you pray, just pray as you feel led? We've got a little bit of time here before it's time to wrap, but pray for our nation and for what's going on in the Middle East.
Sure. Father God, we thank you for this moment in time where we can come boldly and freely before your throne, where you are enthroned in love, Lord God, and you listen to our prayers. We thank you, Lord, that you are ever watching us and you have your eye on us. I thank you for each person who's listening right now, who is getting a deeper connect to your heart. Father, would you just reach in and show them the purposes that you have for them? Would you take them into your throne of room of grace and just release new identity, destiny, and purpose that you'd planned from the beginning of time, things that they haven't yet seen or discovered about themselves? Father, that you would show and open up to them these new doors of opportunity. Father, I ask that you would give them boldness to call out qualities in someone that they love, qualities that are obvious to them, but maybe that person needs to hear it, that they would be a carrier also of your words of life and hope. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for hearts to be softened. We pray for life to reign and that we would have a culture of life, not a culture of death, both here and abroad. Father, we thank you that that's your heart in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lorraine, what a treasure to be with you, and thank you for tuning in today. I pray that you were ministered to and encouraged. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Suzy Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Suzy Larson.